This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Yes, today I have a really, really interesting topic for you. And today I'm going to be talking about analysis paralysis. Okay, so basically analysis paralysis, forgive my sort of quite dark and sort of, atmospheric lighting. I'm not at home, I'm in my mum's house and I haven't got my lighting set up properly. To be honest, I realise it's... It got dark suddenly and haven't set my lights up. But anyway, hopefully, inshallah, it will add to the mysterious air of this particular talk. So yeah, so but what is analysis paralysis? What is that? It's very interesting. It's just simply information overload. It's when you've got so much information about something that you just simply can't decide what to do, which is very different, not very different, but it's similar to what we were talking about last week. If you remember, last week's discussion was about decision fatigue. And decision fatigue is similar but different. Decision fatigue is when you've had to make a lot of decisions throughout the day, you get very, very tired and your decisions get worse. And you stop making rational decisions because you're just really tired from all the thought process that's gone into making decisions. This is slightly different. Although some of the examples may be very, very similar, analysis paralysis is basically all down to having too much information. Now, it just may be because you're presented with too much information, or it could be because you have that type of personality. And sometimes it's really just an avoidance system. I definitely can suffer from many different types of analysis paralysis in my daily life. I've noticed it's very interesting. Even since I started looking into this subject, I've realized that it's something that affects me in many, many different ways. I want to start though with a little story and just, you know, gives us an idea of how old this problem is for human beings. So the story is the story of the cat and the fox. Now, I don't know the story fully, but I'm making up my own version of it. So basically there was a cat and a fox sitting, chatting under a tree, the shade of a tree one day. And they were talking about a common enemy that they had, and the common enemy that both the fox and the cat had were the pack of hounds, the pack of dogs. And obviously the pack of dogs would go after the fox and the pack of dogs would go after the cat. And the cat was saying, you know, I've only got one strategy for escaping. I've only got one way to escape. I only know one way to escape. And if I can't escape that way, I'm done for. And the fox, of course, who thought he was very clever and very cunning, said, no, I have figured out at least 15 ways of escaping the hounds. I've analyzed very carefully all the different ways in which I can escape, and I have many options open to me. And just as he was boasting about his escape capabilities, round the corner came a pack of hounds barking and howling. Now, the cat immediately implemented its one and only escape strategy, which was to run up the tree as fast as he could, leaving Mr. Fox analyzing all the different escape options that he had thought about, all 15 of them. And by the time he had not even got through halfway analyzing which was the best, the hounds pounced upon him and tore him to bits. And that was the end of Mr. Fox. This is actually one of the Aesop's fables, and just to show you how old analysis paralysis is, it's been around since the time of the Greeks. And apparently, by the way, it's even older than that tale. It goes back even more beyond Aesop. So a very interesting story and a very, a good example of analysis paralysis. And it's very obvious how this can very, very negatively affect us in our daily life. So like I said, I mean, sometimes analysis, and, as Muslims, this can affect us as well. Maybe this is one of the reasons why sometimes it's better to choose one scholar that you follow, or maybe even one madhab that you follow. Now, although I've never really understood the how this works on an on a basis of evidence. In other words, how can you establish something as being part of the religion? And clearly part of the religion, I mean, unambiguously part of the religion, when the existence of the possibility of that thing only came into existence hundreds of years after the revelation of the Quran in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Hassan, and those are some companions, and Hassan al-Basri, we can think of many different companions and tabi'in and taba tabi'in who didn't follow a madhab because they didn't exist at those times. So how can we say it's compulsory to follow a madhab when the Prophet didn't, the companions didn't, and the students of the companions didn't? How can it be part of the religion? Well, then the people who argue in favor of this say, well, no, it's not something obligatory in and of itself. It's obligatory for other connected reasons. Now, some of those connected reasons are actually to do with our topic today. It's to do with analysis paralysis, because the possibility of you being confronted with so many different options and so many different opinions and so many intricacies concerning those different opinions that you may end up not doing that thing that you have to do at all. So you can see that it's quite problematic, like Mr. Fox. Unfortunately, he got torn apart by the hounds. Similarly, if a person gets too lost in this mass of information, it can lead them astray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there's definitely a strong argument there from that point of view that sometimes it is better, especially if you're not that person who's able to pro that you're not that type of person who's able to effectively and quickly and efficiently process the the useful information. We find another example of analysis paralysis in the Quran with the story of Bani Israel. And maybe you know what I'm talking to because there's a whole chapter in the Quran named after this particular incident, Surah Al-Baqarah. So, yeah, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story of Bani Israel. Now, you may say, no, this is not a story about analysis paralysis. However, I think it is. However, the reason and the cause for that analysis paralysis is sometimes self-induced. Sometimes we overload ourselves with information on purpose. We purposefully overload ourselves with information because there is something that we want to avoid. There's something that we want to keep away from. And one of the ways that we can actually create that avoidance is by procrastinating. And as many times we've discovered in this, this really incredibly interesting journey that we've been taking for the last 2 years through understanding the human mind, understanding who we are, why we do what we do. One of the things that we find again and again cropping up is that we constantly want to justify things to ourselves. And this actually is a very, very powerful psychological impulse. It all comes back to that. It all comes back to the ego. It all comes back to the nafs. It all comes back to a person wanting to defend that story about themselves. It's something innate within us as human beings, is that we want to be consistent, or at least we want to appear to the outside world as if we're consistent, because no one loves hypocrites and no one loves hypocrisy. And you don't even love that in yourself. It's not a pretty thing to look at. And the greatest fools that we are is often we fool ourselves. And often the greatest lies that we tell are the lies that we tell to ourselves. We tell ourselves lies. We tell ourselves stories. And this is what happens with Bnei Israel when Musa says, so what's the backdrop for this story? Is that a man was killed, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa that the Bnei Israel come to Musa and they want the mystery to be solved of who killed this particular man. So Musa tells them to sacrifice a cow. Now the reason is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that you sacrifice a cow, and then with the tail of that cow, as far as I remember, you know, that Musa was going to touch this man, the man would come to life and he would tell who killed him, who had been responsible for killing him. And this is in the end what happened. But the Bnei Israel didn't really want to do it. They didn't really want to do this. For whatever reason, they didn't want to do this. And so their strategy for avoiding this was just to request more and more information. So they say, well, you know, they just think this is very strange. Why, you know, but he's a prophet of Allah. He's a messenger of God, the creator of the universe. If he's telling you to do something, sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. That's how you should respond. But they don't respond like that. They respond by asking questions. Well, what type of cow is it? What color of cow is it? What sort of cow is it? And, you know, the information becomes more and more and more. And the more information that they receive, the harder it actually becomes for them to fulfill the command that they have been given. And as Allah says, they nearly didn't do it. In the end, they were, I suppose, not paralyzed by the information. In this particular story, they had no choice because the information had become so precise. There was only one cow that fitted this description, and it was extremely expensive. But it's still the same process. The process here is a process that we can sometimes do, is that we actually on purpose overanalyze things because we don't really want to do it. We don't really want to fulfill that task. So what do? Is we keep studying it, we keep looking at it, we keep thinking, no, I have to look at it from this angle, I have to look at it from that angle. You know, you keep looking at it from as many different angles that you possibly can. But the reason you're doing it is it's procrastination. You're trying to put off the inevitable. You don't really want to have to fulfill that task. So what you do is you create the excuse for yourself of needing more information. And that's what's happening in that story of Bnei Israel, which I also think points to something that is very important for us as Muslims. We should be ready to make decisions. And this is an important part of leadership. And this is something that, again, is cropping up again and again. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that every one of you is a shepherd and you will be asked about your flock. This is the reality. We are all leaders. We all have leadership responsibilities. So the ruler obviously is the leader over his people, but so is the man. He is the ruler over his household. And, you know, the mother is the ruler over her children and her husband's property. And even the elder kids have that responsibility for the young kids. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, younger kids have responsibilities. I don't know. It may be over the hens or whatever. I mean, everybody has some type of responsibility, and we are going to be asked about our flock. We are accountable. We are responsible, right? So an important part of leadership is making decisions. So that is key. Islam, one of the things that Islam teaches us when we follow it properly is the importance of making decisions. and making decisions in the right way and making decisions in an effective way and making decisions in an efficient way. And part of the real problem with analysis paralysis is that it is inefficient. It is inefficient. It is wasting a huge amount of time. It is wasting a huge amount of energy. And again, it's all linked to procrastination. And why do we procrastinate? We procrastinate because there's something that seems to be painful. There's something, there is a pain at the end of it. That pain may be just the possibility that we may get it wrong. Sometimes it is a desire. Sometimes it stems from something good. So now not all, and this is, by the way, the interesting thing is that even when Bnei Israel are asking Musa, you see the way they ask him, oh, we only want to do the right thing. We only, you know, we want to be guided. We want to be guided by the right information. This is very tempting. Very often, evil and misguidance clothes itself, cloaks itself in something that on the outward surface seems to be good. This is how Shaitan works, right? And this is how we fool ourselves. We fool ourselves with these stories. We want to make ourselves out that we're so good. In fact, we're going about doing evil. And Allah talks about these people in the Quran, these people who spread mischief. And yet they say, we are only peacemakers. This is what Allah talks about. Groups amongst the disbelievers and the hypocrites. Oh, we only want peace. No, they are lying. In fact, what they want to do and what they are doing is exactly the opposite of making peace. They make war, they make destruction, they burn crops, they kill people, they kill women, they kill children, they cause disease, they cause sickness, and all the time claiming to be these great philanthropists wanting good and wishing good for the world. And it's a lie. What they want is control. What they want is power. But everyone wants to look like they're the hero of their own story. But they lie to themselves and they lie to us. And some of us are fooled by these lies. Some of us, many of us, are fooled by the lies that we tell ourselves and the stories that we tell ourselves. Information generally is something that is good. Knowledge is something that is good, right? Knowledge and information in general is something that is good. So information overload, sort of analysis paralysis, is actually a way in which our ego, our nafs, makes us, fools us into thinking that we are doing something good, whereas in fact what we are really doing is avoiding something that is painful. And what is the pain? Well, it may be the possibility of making the wrong decision, of making a decision that actually, it could be the decision is not the best decision, and then sometimes we don't make any decision at all. But actually, a good decision that is made quickly is better than the best decision that is never made at all, right? A good decision that is made quickly, think about that. A good decision is that is made quickly is better than a perfect decision that is never made at all. Because a decision that's never made, even if it's perfect, it brings no result, it brings no benefit whatsoever, right? And so these, you know, we don't want perfection to be the enemy of doing good, right? And this is a problem. This can be a problem again. Sometimes people want to do things in the best way. Ihsan, you see, for example, we want to have ihsan. This is an important thing in Islam, to do things in the best way, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. And this is part of our religion, that we should do things in the best way. But the best way means that you do things in the best way within the framework that you have in respect to time and resources. If you don't do it at all, then you haven't, it's not the best way because you haven't done it. You failed to do it. So that's not ihsan. Failing to do something, right, is not ihsan. Or if you've been given a deadline and you need to do something by a deadline, it's not ihsan to break that deadline and delay that deadline just because you want to make it as good as you possibly can. No. Ihsan means to do things in the best way with the limitations that you have been given. And those limitations could be financial, they could be time, they could be many different things, right? You only have so much time, you only have so much energy, you have only so much money, you know, you only have so many resources, whatever those resources may be. I'm just giving a few examples, but it could be all sorts of things, right? So ihsan is to do the best that you can with what you've got, with the tools that you've got. Doing nothing because you're spending so long trying to make it perfect, right? That's not ihsan in reality. That's not something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, we need to be making decisions. And one of the things is that once we've decided upon a matter and we've made that decision, then you make istikhara and then you just, you know, you do your best to make it happen. So this, you know, this attitude or this mode of behavior and this mindset of being decisive, of making decisions, is very, very important. And we should avoid procrastinating. We should, you know, unnecessarily, we should avoid over-analyzing to the extent that we get paralyzed and we end up doing nothing. So this is obviously, you know, brothers and sisters, something that, you know, we really want to avoid. We want to keep away from that. We need to, you know, look out for this in our life, whether it's our religious life, whether it's looking after our health, whatever it may be. I remember last week we talked about, I think it was Steve Jobs, and also I think Obama had the same habit, just one suit, one shirt, one, that was it. No choice about what to wear in the morning. And, you know, so last week we mentioned that in the context of decision fatigue, because people with those sorts of responsibilities have lots and lots of decisions to make. So the fewer decisions you have to make, like what do I wear? What do I eat for breakfast? Well, you just have one thing to wear and you just have the same breakfast day after day. And what exercise should I take? You just do the same routine day after day. Like you don't have the opportunity. You know, what that means is, right, you don't get tired from having to make those decisions. But exactly the same thing can happen in respect to all of these things that we mentioned with analysis paralysis. So it's a slightly different thing, right? Decision fatigue and analysis paralysis. So, you know, when it comes to clothes, I am sure so many people, especially in the world today, they suffer from analysis paralysis when it comes to wearing clothes. What clothes should I wear? What hijab? Which hijab will match this, which will match that handbag, which will match those shoes, which will, well, mashallah, just wear a, you know, black burqa and a niqab, end of. You have many decisions to make. But no, I mean, the same with, you know, I get this with, because alhamdulillah, I love going outdoors. I love walking and hiking and biking. But it's painful. It's hard to go out for a long walk, especially when the hill is steep and it's raining and it's cold. So one of the beautiful things, and there's this famous saying that there's no such thing as bad weather, there's just bad kit. And actually, this is really true in the world today. One of the amazing things that is a blessing is that if you have good outdoor clothing, you can, you know, you can get out there in almost any type of weather and it really will not be hazardous to you in terms of your health, right? So you've got really good, well-ventilated waterproofs, different layers, different types of clothes that you can wear for almost any activity you can imagine. But actually this, for me, this is the problem, right? Is that you get this analysis paralysis. It's like, well, should I wear this jacket? Should I wear this jersey? Should it be a long sleeve or a short sleeve? If I wear this, I'm going to get too hot. But if I wear that, then I'll get too cold. And you've got these options to make with your shoes, with your socks, with your leggings, with your, you know, your trousers, with your base layer, with your mid layer, you know, with your waterproof layer, with your head covering. You have so many options. And guess what? In the end, you just end up not going because you just can't. How ridiculous is that? And so isn't it just sometimes better? You just have one thing, you wear it the whole time, and that's what you go out in, come rain or shine. The point being here is that it's very, very easy as well to have this analysis paralysis, too much information, too many options, too many choices, and sometimes too many excuses, because that's the problem that I keep coming back to, is that often we are making excuses for things that we should do, but we just make all this information an excuse not to do what we need to do. Okay, so that's with clothing. We could talk about all of this thing in respect to, what you have for breakfast, choosing your food, even how am I going to get from A to B? I mean, I suffered. I mean, you know, I went, you know, I, this is something that just now, because I'm in Portugal in my mum's house. So I don't have my usual setup here today, but hopefully I'll get it sorted out. But I had an analysis paralysis about how I was going to get here. Like, basically, I don't really agree with flying. I believe that flying is very damaging to the environment. And yes, I know that if every single one of us stopped flying, and if every single one of us stopped eating beef, and if every single one of us stopped driving cars, it would still not make a dent on the emissions that are being, you know, that are being produced by the biggest emitters, 70% of them by, you know, corporations and industries that cause most of the pollution. So all those personal, amazing personal decisions you make probably make virtually no difference at all. However, that's not the point. As I've probably mentioned this before, at the end of the day, you are a Muslim. And because you're a Muslim, you know that you are individually, personally accountable and responsible. Allah's not going to ask you about what these people did. He may ask you why you didn't petition them or try and stop them or whatever, right? But you can only do what you can do. So, you know, we do believe we're accountable individually for what we do. And I believe climate change is a real problem, and I believe I'm individually accountable. So this is why, for example, I got myself, you know, an electric car. And one of the things I intended was that I would not fly anymore, as much as possible. I didn't, like, for myself, it's not an absolute thing. If I need to, really, I would really, really need to, and it would be really justified. Now, one of those things is going to see my mum, but then, you know, I could have drove, but with all of this COVID and all the testing and the going through the borders and it being a very unknown thing for me, driving an electric car across Europe, I had a real decision paralysis. It was like, I really just could not make up my mind. And it literally was one night. I just took the whatever it was, the lateral flow test, because you know, you have to get a negative test. And that's it. I just forced myself to make a decision on the spot. But I was literally paralyzed. I really was. I had this analysis, and literally I was just analyzing this, analyzing that. How about this? How about that? The advantages of this, the disadvantages of that. At the end of the day, I just needed to come and see my mum. I hadn't seen her for 2 years. So, well, anyway, alhamdulillah, I'm here now, which is good. So in the end, I did make a decision, but there was a lot of procrastination going on. Brothers and sisters, I honestly think that, just looking into and studying these subjects, I find them really, really useful for me personally. And definitely from an organizational point of view, I'm going to be telling our brothers and sisters in IERA to listen to this talk as well. And I recommend anyone who's in a position where you are managing people, this is very important. You need to you need to study and be aware of this whole cognitive bias that we call of analysis paralysis. You know, it's a type of, you know, it's a, I guess it's a type of OCD, or OCD is a type of analysis paralysis as well. It was all connected, information overload. So brothers and sisters, learn to be good decision makers. Remember that you don't make perfection the enemy of doing good. And again, if you've been following my talks for the last, whatever it is, 2 years, I hope by now that you have developed a ability to be honest with yourself and to be brutal with yourself and not to lie to yourself and just to say, stop being an idiot, you stop making excuses, stop feeding your ego, stop feeding your nafs, stop making excuses for yourself, stop lying to yourself, be honest. I don't really want to do this thing. It frightens me. It scares me. I want to make the right decision, but I don't think I'm going to, right? Or maybe if I make the wrong decision, the consequences of it are too damaging. Well, just be honest. Don't, you know, make an excuse that somehow if I study this more and more and more, and the more information, I'll get more information, and then suddenly it's all going to fall in place, when you know that that's not what's taking place. And that actually more information may actually lead you to not make a decision at all. You don't want to be in that place. And you know what? Sometimes anyway, it's fine not to make a decision. That's also a possibility. You can just say, I'm not going to make a decision. I don't need to make a decision about this. But obviously, sometimes you do. Often we do. And we should be aware of this issue. If you find yourself over analyzing stuff and being paralyzed, you need to catch yourself, you need to stop yourself, and you need to take some steps to avoid that. And again, one of the things you can do is, you know, refer it to someone else, as we've discussed that previously, not just with Islamic things, but with whatever it may be. You refer it to someone who is perhaps a more decisive decision maker, who can give you and not from the point of view here of getting more information. No, don't ask someone because you just want another now piece of information, because that would just be feeding the beast. No, you want to find out and seek out somebody who, again, is going to help you make a decision. And maybe like the cat, maybe you should just restrict yourself to a few options. Like the cat, go back to the cat. He just had one escape route, one escape plan. That was it. Run up the tree. If he couldn't run up the tree, he was a goner. But you know what? That's it. I just have one thing I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. Mr. Clever Sly Fox had 15 escape plans, but he was so busy analyzing them, the hounds got him. Don't be like Mr. Fox. Be like Mr. Cat. So until next time, brothers and sisters, it's been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. May Allah bless you. May Allah guide you. Don't forget to share this video, this great platform that we're on, Stream Islam, or also my YouTube channel or my Facebook page. Inshallah, please do subscribe to my Facebook page as well as Stream Islam. Like, share, follow, comment, subscribe, brothers and sisters. Until next week, I don't know what I'm going to be talking about next week. We will see. It will be a surprise, inshallah. If you have any suggestions, then maybe there's something that you do want to talk about. Let me know. Until then, brothers and sisters, it's been a pleasure. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.